You set that up and I'll start talking. So, in our reading today, Jesus invites Levi to go with him. Now, Levi was a tax collector, and he was scum, okay? I think that's probably the best word for it, because his job was to collect taxes from the Jews to pay the Romans. And there were lots of taxes. There was 1% of annual income for income tax. Then there were import and export taxes. There were crop taxes. 1% of grain was paid as tax. 1/5 of your wine, fruit, and olive oil. There was sales tax. There was property tax. There was emergency tax. And on, and any other tax that they could think of to get money out of the Jews. And a Roman official, who was called a censor, was actually overall in charge. But what they did was they would sell the right to extort as much tax as possible to the highest bidder. So tax collectors were usually Jewish. And then they would collect as much tax as they could, and then they would hand over to Rome what they were supposed to hand over, and they would keep the rest for themselves. They were the extortioners. They were extortioners of very large sums of money. And Levi was probably named Levi because he was a Levite, and the Levite were the Jewish tribe that were supposed to be the priests and the leaders of worship for the Jewish people. So you can imagine that Levi was the scummiest of the scummy. He couldn't have been any scummier. And the tax collectors, they sat in booths, and if you can see the picture, hopefully you can see that they had set up booths, and they collected the tax from people. And it was a really, really public place. And yet Jesus came along, and he extended the hand of friendship to Levi. He entered into a relationship with him by calling him, and then by going and eating with him. And in doing that, Jesus started to transform Levi. Jesus' actions, building relationship, becoming his friend, told Levi that he was worth something. He wasn't scum. He wasn't worthless. He wasn't the bottom of the heap of the Jewish pile. He had value, as did his friends. Jesus saw the humanity in Levi, a person created by God, created in God's image, worth so much more than he was currently, worth giving up his life for, in fact. Levi becomes Matthew, the disciple and the author of the first gospel. Mr. Slide. Okay, we seem to have completely lost the slide, never mind. The Pharisees, the good people, didn't like it one bit. And they challenged Jesus' disciples. What does he think he's doing? They asked. And Jesus responds by telling them that it's the sick, the outsider, the outcast, not the healthy, the good people that he has come for. Because Jesus transforms lives. He heals both the inside and the outside. The passage directly before this one of Jesus calling Levi is the healing of the paralytic man who's lowered through the roof. Do you remember that? Does everyone know that passage? So four friends take a guy who's on a mat, paralytic, can't move, and they end up digging up a roof and lowering it in order to get their friend to Jesus. And once he gets to Jesus, Jesus starts by telling him that his sins are forgiven. And in doing this, Jesus is transforming the man on the inside. From somebody who would have been told that he was useless, of no value to society, that sin, his sin, or his parents' sin, was to blame for his condition. Think about John 9, where the disciples ask, who sinned that this man was being born blind? The Jewish people believed that if you were sick or paralyzed or disabled in some way, it was because of inherent sin or sin in your family line that had caused it. He was changed to someone whose sins were forgiven, someone who was worth something. And after the outcry of those with no issues with self-worth, who already thought they were worthy, the Pharisees, the good people, how dare he, they said, only God can forgive sins. Jesus makes the point that he is able to affect that inner transformation as well as the outer by healing the man physically. And then, after healing the paralytic, Jesus moves on to Levi, and he transforms him. Now, today is all about India 2018. And the initiatives, the projects that we are going to visit in India are all about that same inner transformation. Fisherman's Trust works with young people from Bangalore, and I've just heard all over India, with low self-esteem. So often those that are outside of society with little hope for the future. And it works with them to change their perceptions of themselves, to understand who they are according to Jesus, and to help them to take their proper place in society and to make a difference. Faith and Light, as you know from the work that they do here, but Faith and Light India work in the same way to build esteem and to transform the lives of those with learning disabilities and allow them to be part of the community that they live in. And Sahara works with prostitutes and their children in the red light district of Mumbai. And many have been trafficked, sold into slavery, no means of escape. And the project provides them with a drop-in center where they get health care, they receive spiritual advice, they have prayer, and they are educated in reading and writing and learning skills that provide them with a means of supporting themselves, offering the potential to escape from the life that they have been dragged into. They rebuild all of the projects, rebuild self-esteem. They rebuild lives. And you know, this trip, it's not about us. It's not about the sordid Westerners out to offer help in some sort of colonial idea of superiority. It really is a two-way exchange. It's a building of relationship, creating space for Jesus to work and transform us as well as the people that we're going to. And it's the start of a two-way process of relationship that we'll see, as you heard, the people that we meet, our brothers and sisters in India, coming back here to England to see and experience what Jesus is doing here. And the Pharisees, in a sense, a bit like us, the good people, the Westerners maybe, were actually just as sick as those that they were condemning. They just couldn't see it. In Matthew's own version of this story of his call, he records Jesus pointing to the prophet Hosea, calling people to justice. It says, on hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call, not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus was telling them, he was quoting Hosea, where Hosea was saying, you know, you people who are righteous, you people who think you're so good, but you're not showing mercy, you're not showing justice. Jesus was telling the Pharisees that by not being merciful, by insisting on their sacrifices, on their adherence to far more laws than God ever put in place, that they were not living as God intended, and that they too were sick and in need of a doctor. And that point is pushed home by Jesus when he goes on to talk about not putting new wine into old wineskins or sewing new material onto an old garment. He says, I'm doing something new. God's kingdom is being reconstructed, and it won't work under the old system. Your old system, your ways of doing things, can't accommodate Jesus's new system, his new kingdom. A new structure, a new understanding is needed. And as we go out to India, we are expecting God to do new things. We're expecting to learn and to be changed by our experiences, possibly more so than any change that we could expect to bring. Because so often in our Western world, we behave like those Pharisees. We have access to money, to education, to healthcare, and all of the other stuff. And it means that we so often do things in our own strength. We so often do things by our own means, and we don't have to rely on God. But we need to realize that we need Jesus too. That we are sick. And if we are to engage and to fellowship with others as we travel to India, but also as we stay here and as we feed the 5,000 in Gillingham, then we need to come with humility. We need to come with an expectation that we will learn and share and become richer from that experience also. We need to expect Jesus to be transforming us just as much as he transforms those that we meet with. The kingdom of God is one of transformation and being made new, but it's a continually transforming one. The kingdom of God is not an I am transformed, but an I am being transformed kingdom. So, as we travel this journey together, whether it's to Bangalore on an aeroplane, to a coffee shop in Gillingham, or around a table in our home or someone else's, let us open ourselves up to the work of the Holy Spirit and to being transformed as we encounter the kingdom of God. Worship team. The worship team's going to come, and we're going to play a worship song. And you can either join in or maybe just sit and think about what it is that you want Jesus to do in your life. What it is to be part of being transformed by the kingdom of God.